Hello, it's Gareth Roberts. This is The Big Match. We haven't done one of these for a very long time, but it's back with the vengeance. We're doing the 1974 FA Cup Final. If you want to watch along, because some people do, this is one of the most bizarre shows that we do, by the way, but people like it, so we're doing another one. So type into YouTube, Liverpool-Newcastle FA Cup Final 1973-74, and you should find the footage that we are about to watch. We're going to watch a little bit of the pre-match build-up, and then we're going to jump to the second half, because, spoilers, that's when all the goals are. The reason why we're going to watch a little bit of the start will become clear. Basically, I want to watch what dead young lads think of what happens at the start. They might not know about it, so no spoilers. So we've got Dan's, Morgan and Austin. We've got Ian Salmon and we've got Mike Nevin. And we're going to get going. So we've got two screens here, so we've got to coordinate here. So we're ready, boys, to press play and get ready at home.
This can't possibly go wrong.
With 3, 2, 1, press play.
Nothing. Yes, there you go. We're playing.
So what we're currently looking at is Bruce Forsyth walking out onto the Wembley turf.
The late Bruce Forsyth.
Wearing a red pair of kecks.
The late Sir Bruce Forsyth.
And he starts to dribble the ball towards the fans.
It's a heavy first touch, though, isn't it?
It's a heavy first touch, but then he's just boomed it, and now there's lots of Liverpool fans clapping and applauding him.
He just slotted it in our end there, by the way.
And singing, nice one, Brucey, nice one, son, nice one, Brucey, can we have another one? Mike, let's start with you, mate, because you were there. This is your first match, is that right?
First ever football match, yeah.
Do you remember anything about it, or were you far too young?
No, I remember loads about it, yeah.
Do you remember Brucey?
No, I don't remember that bit, but I've been telling people to watch Brucey's performance
it's boss,
for years.
Isn't it? Yeah,
I mean, I loved him as an entertainer, like just growing up, and I just think he's dead funny in an incredibly camp way, but just a brilliant entertainer. And if you get the chance to watch this footage, if you're listening to this, honest to God, it's the best part of the game. It's absolutely it's hilarious the way he includes the whole crowd, and he's got 100,000 people in his hands, basically. Yeah, hilarious.
I mean, I wonder what you boys, the younger two in the room here, think about this. As the Liverpool team's up at the moment, Clement, Smith, Lindsay, Thompson, Cormack, Hughes, Keegan, Hall, Highway, Toshack and Callaghan, and just the one substitute, Lawler, manager Bill Shankly, of course. What do you make of what you just saw there? Like, full band on the pitch, Brucey legging it round. I mean, a lot of the time in modern football, we're criticising how, you know, build up to cup finals and how it's all razzmatazz and how they should just leave it to the fans to create an atmosphere. What was going on then?
I think it's very indicative of the time, maybe, that, you know, the modern day TV entertainer is the face of telly, maybe on a Friday or Saturday night, and so therefore everyone on the ground can resonate with him, which is interesting. I mean, if you think of what would it be now, it'd be some kind of DJ or something like that, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, I much prefer Hardfi.
Yeah, we did have Hardfi, didn't we, for a final, which was pretty shit. The Newcastle team's just up there, including Terry McDermott. We're going to, and including Malcolm McDonald, who no doubt we will be talking about.
And Alan
Kennedy as well. We will be talking about all these people, because we're going to have a whole half to do it. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is, we've done the Brucey bit, and that's why I wanted to get that starting. We're not going to watch the first half, we're going to watch the second half, otherwise, you know, we'd be here all day. So find the second half, basically, and tell me when you're there or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. We're relying on Avenue HQ's Wi-Fi here, so don't let us down.
This is my favourite bit of this show. Have you got it ready?
Yeah,
can you see the pitch? Can you see the ball?
I'll fill the dead air time.
Go on, you game on here.
Not loads happened in the first half. Liverpool are better side. There's no real chances, but a couple of times the ball flashes across Newcastle's goal and the outstretched limbs don't quite convey, but it's pretty even, it's tense, it's the cup final, it's the biggest game of the season. Never mind your leagues, the FA Cup final's the biggest game of the season.
I mean,
Leeds had won the league, I think we'd come second.
Sorry, can I just interrupt? What I've found while I'm looking for the second half is the presenter who's doing the half-time chat, as it were, is wearing a pair of green gloves for some reason. He's got green woolly gloves
nice.
On. It's mental. So if you find the half-time chat, it's a guy in a chair with green gloves, and then the second half is on 42-12. So I'm on 42-17 it kicks off. So if I take it back a touch.
So you're on what? It's good, this, innit? absolute podcasting gold.
Brilliant. Yeah, this is the kind of thing you get awards for.
Really, really pleased that Neil put this on the schedule, six till seven on a Friday night.
If you go 42-16, it kicks off on 42-16. I'm currently on 42-17.
Okay, let's try.
Three.
42-16, we're on here, but we're just looking at a spinning circle. Come on, Avenue HQ. Oh, hit me with some internet.
Most of the Newcastle players had a spinning circle in front of their eyes by the end of the game.
See what he did there? So we're trying to press play this side. Are you ready to go that side?
And then hit on.
Okay, we've cheated a little bit there, and we are now synchronised. And what we're currently looking at is 42 minutes, 10 seconds on the previously mentioned YouTube video. What you should be seeing if you want to play along is a fella with a whitish-bluish shirt, wearing a pair of green gloves for reasons that we've discussed off air and we won't be discussing on air. Okay, you draw your own conclusions as to quite why he's got them on.
No, we're not talking about the fella.
Ian Salmon, are you ready to press?
Just cleanliness.
There's no need for gloves and TV presenting. It's just doesn't go together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, press
go.
Play.
Yes, there we go.
It's just disappeared there as well. Was dead creepy.
Here we go then.
Can I just say, going back to the team, we've got one sub because it's the area of one sub.
Yeah.
And it's Chris Lawler. So our sub is a right back.
Yeah.
Which probably seems utterly bizarre to the modern audience, because it seems quite bizarre to me at the moment that our only sub is a right back. You're not going to change the game with him at all.
Well, I don't know. He scored about 75 goals.
He did, in fairness. Well, lots of pens, wasn't it?
No, they were all in there. Chris Lawler was great. He was called Ghost. Well, he disappears. Now he's known as Ghost because he's got dead grey hair.
Oof.
But he was known as Ghost in those days because he ghosted.
Keegan's just flashed one wide.
He just ghosted into positions. Hence why he scored a load. It wasn't 70 goals, but he got about some 40 goals in open play for Liverpool from right back. But
it's a glorious banner, by the way, by Kevin Keegan.
They're all great. The sides are fantastic. Lawler's also subject to the great Shankly story that in the five-a-side, he had to adjudicate a goal. And he was a very quiet player. So he gives the goal, I think it was to Paisley's side. And Shankly stands there and goes, fucking typical. He says nothing for 3 years, and when he does, it's a fucking lie.
That's a classic, that, yeah. Very well preceded by...
Good advert for Rizzler there. There was a little knowing nod.
That's mad that was ever allowed.
Phil Thompson there.
Look at Clemence's kicks here. Eat your fucking heart out.
Pitch honestly, very good.
That's a hell of a clip.
And left foot as well. That could have been a pen.
Pitch looks excellent for 74. I'm not just saying that, because it's a while ago, but you're sure to see the play. When I think of playing this time, it's quite staggered sometimes, and I think a lot of it's through the pitch.
Yeah,
and you can see in this, it's quite free flowing, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it is Wembley in May, so it wouldn't have been used as much as Wembley gets used now.
That was all part of the draw of getting to the cup final, was that you'd see your team play on a nice pitch.
Yeah.
It was a massive deal.
In terms of the TV spectacle, the last time you saw a nice pitch would have been probably August the 14th or something like that, because they'd all go to shit, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. By the time you get to October, so the things you're used to seeing are absolute mud baths, and that's what they're playing.
Derby and Nottingham Forest's pitch, they'd recover to a degree, but even at the first day of the season, there'd still be loads of mud and bare patches in the goalmouth. Yeah.
So if you don't know as well, it's a famous story, but the number 9 for Newcastle is Malcolm McDonald, and he's Supermac, and he'd been mouthing off before the game basically about what Newcastle were going to do, and he'd scored in every round up to that point. But Emlyn Hughes, talking about the game afterwards, he was asked, what was your motivation for this game, and he basically said Malcolm McDonald's comments. So, the old pin it on the dressing room wall, which I love to this day, was going on then, and he hardly gets a touch in the game, does he, Mike? He doesn't do anything.
No, but the thing about him is you can't underestimate how good he was, because he once scored 5 goals for England in one game, albeit against Malta, I think, in about 1975. But he was known as Supermac, and he played for Arsenal. I think he played for Arsenal in
Went from Arsenal to Newcastle.
For big money, something like £300,000. Actually, it might have been 100,000, but
it was a record English fee.
I'm just trying to remember if he was part of Arsenal's double team in 71. He might have been,
to have been part of the double team at that point, he'd have had to be playing alongside Kennedy up front, wouldn't he? Because
yeah.
Kennedy was centre forward for him.
He probably wasn't. I think it was about 72, but maybe a year later. But Arsenal, as double winners from 71, having beaten Liverpool in the cup final in 71, that was like a big move to go to go there. And then, obviously, Newcastle have acquired them. So Newcastle are not the Newcastle of today here. And one thing that always strikes me about the atmosphere, despite the fact that Liverpool win the game 3-0, they outsang us all the way through.
Really?
We get a few You Never Walk Alones going, and the traditional sort of Liverpool songs and terrace chants, if you like. But generally speaking, they were so noisy.
But it's a standard Geordie crowd, isn't it? So yeah. They're always going to get behind them, and they were a bigger team at the time. And as we were saying about the team, as they came out before, you're looking at players here of the quality that we took them on and made them into European Cup winners.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're looking at Alan Kennedy and Terry McDermott, mm-hmm. and it was very much stated at the time that Liverpool, if a player did well against you, you'd go and buy him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's partly why we go for Ray Kennedy in the first place, because he performed so well against us, and then obviously we reinvent him.
Mm.
But with these two, it was obvious what they could do to us, and they did it to us a couple of seasons in the league.
Well, is McDermott on the ball now, I think?
Yeah. Was he at Bury first, McDermott? He was. Was he Bury or...?
Bury. Shout, yeah. Obviously, he's from Kirby originally, so that was...
Yeah.
So he
Royal Kirby, as he called it when I interviewed him. I don't know where he gets that from. Literally, no one's ever called it Royal Kirby, to my knowledge.
Saturday night's call Bootle Golf Course Royal Bootle. Yeah. So, and it's a fine course as well.
I was about to say, as we hit
that Royal... I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a massive tangent here.
I just got so bad. How are we being offside?
We can tell that in a minute. When you play at Royal Bootle, you can hit a drive onto the green.
Yeah.
You're 3 yards from the flag. You never see the ball again because it gets robbed, and then they sell it back
Keegan's
to you.
Keegan's free in the middle.
Back to you for a fiver.
Oh.
Are we are.
I don't get how this is given offside.
1-0.
Who's it given offside against, this goal?
Just a mistake, innit? Because it comes back off the defender. It's a mistake, yeah.
But
I was going to say that goal doesn't count as a Casale Lindsay.
No, it's a great finish, though, innit?
No.
It's a hell of a finish.
What a strike it is.
He runs from behind the play, though, when he plays the 1-2.
I think Keegan's offside.
Look at his face.
I think it might be Toshak, you know.
They can't believe it's offside. And it's the wrong decision because it comes off the defender. I remember being absolutely gutted because my first Liverpool shirt, I played left back, and everyone's seen me left foot, piece of work it is. And I played left back and I had a sewn number 3 into like a red shirt because you couldn't get kits in them days. And he was my hero, Alec Lindsay.
Alec Lindsay was brilliant. He was a perfect left back.
Yeah.
Do you notice what we don't get there?
Replay?
No replay at all.
No. I'm sure they show it back at some point in the next 5 minutes or so, but not no instant replay
because you're so used to it.
Now.
In the time that you've got Alec Lindsay stand there going, what are you doing? You would have seen. That's a hell of a challenge.
Left one in there.
Is he getting a card here? No, just a stern talking to.
Liverpool are all over the man.
I think that's John Tudor there.
Oh, it's
Newcastle.
Not. It's not. It's a staple of the show, isn't it, Gareth? That we have a little look at the referee and we see if he's dead or alive or not.
Go on.
This is Gordon Cecil Q, Mike. Mm-hmm.
Cecil?
Gordon Cecil Q. He was born in February 1930, to be fair to him, so I think it was up here.
He's dead then, isn't he?
Well, he'd be 88 if he was still
alive. Still be alive.
I'll tell you what, have a look at him. See what you think. See if you think he was looking after himself, and we'll come back to it later.
Well,
keep the people waiting.
I'll suggest with a name like Cecil Pugh, he might have had quite a privileged upbringing. Mm. And just like the Queen and Prince Philip, he's probably still alive.
A long and healthy life.
Yeah, of course he has. Well, and all he's done is drink gin in the afternoon, have a kip, done fuck all, reft a bit of footy.
At first, that's what I do.
I think he could
live to 100.
And look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. Just look at him.
Not putting the weight on.
No.
There might have been a bit of an issue of bias here because he was born in South Shields, which is basically Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't be allowed nowadays.
No. He'd have been from one of those weird, like, sort of North East Conservative clubs.
Well, Jordan's refereeing career, he was based in Leeds, then Amersham, Buckinghamshire, and for his final season, Middlesbrough.
Well, so he got about, didn't he? Mm. Probably had a girlfriend in each one of those towns.
So when did he pass away?
So if
then?
He is alive, we're looking at the libel laws.
Well, sure.
He's passed away. He's dead. He's absolutely dead. He's already referred to him in past tense.
If he was still alive. He is pressing ball down the channel again.
Dan, I need to know because I don't like to speak ill of the dead.
Okay. So what are you going, Mike? Do you think he's
still alive?
You think he's alive?
Yeah, definitely.
Ian?
I think he's dead, but can we just say the ball down the channel for Keegan, the way Keegan kept that in at the touchline, the ball back in for Toshak, that's magnificent.
What about the ref, though?
I know, no, you can't interrupt dead ref chatting.
Come on.
Dead ref. Dead. He's dead.
He's dead, mate.
Dead. Gareth?
Dead.
Well, Gordon Cecil Q, according to Wikipedia, is an English former football referee. He's 88 years of age and he's still got him.
As a salesman, what's your next steps here? you get to his doorstep, you knock him up tonight and you say, hey lads, that was a fucking awful decision to disallow my favourite player.
Probably explained by the fact that he was born in South Shields.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be out in the black and tan tonight.
Do you know what? We are destroying these here. Absolutely destroying them. And the other thing that we haven't mentioned, that kit is beautiful.
It is bosh, yeah.
That's perfect.
It's the right colour of red. It's the right shade of red.
It's the right shade. The next perfect. If Wario are watching, listening, and obviously watching the YouTube at the same time, because they will do that, just do that next year. Just do that.
But you'd have to have the mad sponsor in the middle of the kit. You'd have to have things on the sleeves. You know what I mean? There's so many things now that like a staple part of a kit.
Yeah,
that'd
ruin it for me.
Let's stop looking like Heart of Midlothian and Roma.
Liverpool, by the way, third round beat Doncaster Rovers after a replay. Fourth round beat Carlisle after a replay. Then they beat Ipswich Town, Bristol City, Leicester City after another replay.
Can I just make a point about the Leicester City replay?
Go on.
Shilton was in goal, Peter Shilton for Leicester, and wore an all-white goalkeeper shirt kit.
It's bold, isn't it?
And the winning goal comes from Keegan, I think. And Keegan said after the game, I saw him coming off his line, because you couldn't miss him because he was in all-white in the night game. And he said, but I just knew how much weight I needed to put on the volley. And over it went. It went over his head. Chilton was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm. But the biggest mistake he ever made was wearing an all-white kit. I don't know who the hell he thought he was.
Newcastle beat non-league Hendon after a replay in the third round. They beat Scunthorpe United after a replay in the fourth round. West Bromwich in the fifth round. I don't know what happened here. Do you know? Maybe you can fill us in on this, Mike.
Forest.
They played Forest away 4-3 and it was void.
Yeah.
Then they played them again. It was 0-0 and they played them again and they won 1-0 and then they beat Burnley in the semis 2-0. What was the void one about?
I'm not quite sure, but I know that they ended up playing at a neutral ground for the final one, and it was Goodison Park.
Oh, we are. It's Newcastle hooligans rioted and invaded the pitch. Two Forest players were injured in the fracas, and the referee took all the players off the field. Newcastle managed to stage a comeback and won 4-3 despite being a player short. 23 people were taken to hospital as a result of the pitch invasion. Two had fractured skulls. 103 people received treatment at the ground and 39 were arrested. Nottingham Forest sent a formal written protest to the FA, and in response, this is so FA, in response they formed a special four-man subcommittee of the Challenge Cup Committee who oversee the competition to investigate, and with an eye to disqualifying Newcastle. But then obviously they decided that it must be replayed, as you say, Mike, at a neutral venue.
That was the punishment, was they had to play at Goodison.
Yeah, Goodison Park, a nervous 0-0 draw.
That's a hell of a hit. Can we just go back about a minute there while we were talking about the Newcastle fans? The idea of pressing and winning the ball back is nothing new.
Yeah.
Ian Callaghan wins the ball back brilliantly in the midfield there. For somebody who's supposed to be playing right wing, he goes through a player and takes the ball cleanly. And he starts off that entire move, which is, it's what we're doing now. We're not doing anything different to what we were doing 40 years ago.
I mean, if there's a Liverpool way, there's a load of shit talked about the Liverpool way, and it's behaving yourself and not doing this and that and the other and being part of a family. The Liverpool way really was a style of play. And everyone used to say, what's Liverpool's secret? And
that's famous, isn't it? Shankly doing that with his hands.
Yeah,
like a puppeteer.
Was Keegan in any way underrated? Because just looking at him now, this is one of the things where you look at him and say,
he's not underrated
in terms
not
of...
When he was
underrated by history.
By what follows.
I think it's because he left. He was the first one really to sort of break Liverpool fans' hearts, because everyone loved him and he was a real superstar.
Didn't leave Liverpool.
No, it never happened.
Liverpool made you leave.
You think about it, he signed in 1971 and left in 77, having won Liverpool the European Cup. He had no obvious ties to the club. He loved Shankly. Mm. He loved playing for Liverpool. I adore him to this day.
Yeah.
But the Kop hated him after that. And when he went to Hamburg, we played them in the Super Cup the following season, beat them 6-0. And the Kop all night, practically the whole chant, "How's your challenge going now?" Because he said, "I'm going for the challenge."
I'm always Deutschmarks.
But he was going for the challenge, and he was European Footballer of the Year twice.
Yeah. With Hamburg.
With Hamburg.
And you figure how big Hamburg was at the time?
Yeah, I mean, Hamburg was quite a small club, but had new money. They bought him for £500,000, and he was the best player in Europe for two seasons after he was at Liverpool. Then he come back and played for Southampton, and he was probably the best player in the league in 81-82.
Right.
Which is 11 years into his career.
Keegan was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
He's everywhere,
you know, like everyone loves Suarez.
Yeah.
Suarez was Keegan. Not Dalglish, it was Keegan.
What I've noticed here in the game is just how many flick-ons he's winning for Toshak. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
The other thing you've got to say is when Mike says he won the European Cup, he won the European Cup. It's his game.
Yeah.
He doesn't get on the score sheet that night, does he?
No.
But he wins the game. He runs the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's his last game, and he knows it's his last game.
Yeah.
And we've known for months it's his last game, but he goes out and he wins that cup.
Popping up everywhere.
He had a shit game in the 77 Cup final 4 days before Rome. And the rumour was, this is probably hearsay, but it was a rumour that was going around at the time, that in the dressing room in Rome, when they got in, Keegan says, "Well, I won you the European Cup there, lads. That's my parting gift." And Tommy Smith said, "Well, you were shit on Saturday," and then lamped him.
And if you look at the
celebrations, Keegan's got sunglasses
he's got
on.
Black eye, hasn't he?
Massive, big, fucking dead cool aviator shades.
Yeah.
And he's got a black eye. So I don't know how he got the black eye, but that sounds like a plausible story to me.
There's absolute proliferation of bifters going on. the photographers behind the goal who were lying on the grass, there's no seats for them or that special little section. They're just on the grass at the back of the goal. They're all having a bifter. It just went to someone on the bench having a bifter.
Referee Cecil Pugh is having one at the moment. And look at him, 88 and still going strong. Capstan full strength, it would have been as well, no filter.
I like watching the Isle of Liverpool game as well, because my missus' dad was a photographer for the Echo for years, and you can see him on loads of them, big massive barnet and massive collars on his shirt.
What's his name?
Frank Loughlin.
Because the Echo at the time, their coverage of football was brilliant back then.
Yeah.
Klopp would go nuts if we were singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" now after 61-0 up in a cup final. Wouldn't have that, would he?
But this is
this is my thing about
"Never Walk Alone." You know, "You Never Walk Alone," it's a victory song, right?
Yeah.
And this idea, I've always said, the way the Kop now sings "You Never Walk Alone" every game, right at the end, regardless of the score, regardless of how many people are still in the ground, it's a joke. They only trotted it out during the game at like seminal moments of matches, as if to say, "We've got the better of you now, we're going to win this."
Yeah, when they either had destroyed somebody or when we needed the support.
Precisely, yeah. And it was timed, and it was special because it was underused. Nowadays, I mean, Carlisle in the League Cup the other year, they sang it five times against Carlisle in the third round of the League Cup. Absolutely ridiculous. Mm. It's losing its impact because it's oversung. You listen to it here.
Yeah. And that's because we know what we're doing to them.
Yeah.
And also, one of the interesting things, I don't know if anybody spotted it watching it there, but probably looks absolutely alien to people now. Twice within 2 minutes there, Emlyn Hughes has whipped the 60-yard volley back into Clemens's hands.
Yeah, it's mad.
So it's, absolutely permissible
then.
It's
absolutely mad.
Just looks so bizarre now.
The idea of picking it up and dropping it and picking it up again as well, it's just crazy looking at it.
Other thing to emphasise, and it was touched on before, is that these are very different times in terms of where the clubs were at. So Liverpool had only won the FA Cup once before. Newcastle here had appeared in what was then a record 11th final, and they'd won the competition six times and been runners up four times. So maybe this is why Malcolm McDonald was mouthing off beforehand.
They were massive, Newcastle. But one other story that I've got from being there was that We stayed the night in a good hotel. It was actually me Evertonian uncle who paid for this trip and got us two tickets. And it sounds like glory hunters, but my dad could never go to games on a Saturday because he used to work in the bookies as a second job. And this Evertonian uncle who'd spent the first 60 years of my life trying to convert me to be an Evertonian. And he'd been to watch Everton in the 68 Cup final. They lost to West Brom. And he said, if you get to Wembley, I'll get you tickets, because even though we lost against West Brom, it's an experience never to be missed. And he'd also been in 1933 when Everton beat, I've forgotten who they beat, but they won 3-0. Steen, Dean and Dunn were the goal scorers. I wasn't alive then. Another joke that's just gone missing because everyone's on the phones.
I was listening. I just like the fact you've got total recall of things that happened before your birth.
Oh, that's right. 34 years before my birth. My maths isn't bad either. The night before the game, this it was the Esso Hotel. It's not there now. It was a bit like a sort of an upmarket Premier Inn, and it was just the night was just incredible. And as a 6 year old, I just remember how nice the Geordies were. They were cool. Not this hatred that Liverpool fans have got for Newcastle fans now, and this idea that they fight police horses. Yeah, you know, we saw that one, didn't we? But the Geordies were just like us. You know, they were working class, a town with a river, you know, so the same industries. They were just like us. Yeah. And, you know, in terms of like friendly finals, there's all the talk about the Liverpool and Everton one in the 80s, or Everton Liverpool games in the 80s at Wembley. This was just as friendly. There was no animosity at all. Just the same people with two great football teams at the cup final having a good time.
Yeah, it's a good shout. I mean, I think, I don't know, with Newcastle, they're a big club, aren't they? You know, in terms of supporters and following.
It's a tragedy, yeah. You know. They haven't won anything since 1967.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Leeds.
Yeah,
Leeds are a team of stature that should be in the Premiership.
Of course,
they deserve to be bigger, and I'm biased because I've got mates who are Leeds fans. But
no,
just on the match for a moment, there's a few interesting things going on there. Very quietly, Peter Cormack's having a cracking game in the middle of the park. I remember absolutely loving Peter Cormack at the time, but couldn't remember why. But he's
energy, I think, and industry,
I think you'd probably compare him to Haman more than anyone, mm-hmm. because he's breaking up the play very well, mm-hmm. and just spreading it to the lads who are a bit quicker than him.
It's a bit of a heartthrob as well, wasn't he? Had a single out and stuff.
My sister's first first heartthrob was Peter Cormack.
He's a very stylish looking lad at the time. And the other thing is, Tommy Smith, where does Tommy Smith play? Historically, what is Tommy Smith's position?
I was thinking this before, you'd say centre-back.
He's right
playing
back.
Right back, isn't he?
Yeah.
He also played
in midfield as well.
Yeah, and you also forget that Emlyn Hughes could play centre back, and you also forget how good a footballer Emlyn Hughes was.
Totally.
Because people know him as a club legend, but it's kind of seen through that filter of question of sports and the fact that
he's a bit of a Tory.
Being that respectful princess.
You haven't mentioned the shorts, lad. You've got to get the shorts out in. Oh, the shorts are short.
I've got a checklist, haven't I? We've got to do High Tech Silver Shadow at some point. I think this predates them a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
I'm sure we can do some sort of footwear.
We've mentioned the advertising hoardings. We've mentioned the referee and his status of life.
Alive.
The advertising hoardings are pretty much boring there. They're all banks, which isn't a great chat.
What's Yankee? What did Yankee do, Mike?
I don't know.
Tom's Yankee Bar.
I don't think that's an advert for the Yankee Bar.
I think it's an ale house in London.
The Yankee Bar contains some of the biggest criminals and hooligans that Liverpool have ever produced.
Allegedly.
Oosh.
That's a hell of a shot.
Let's just go back to Emlyn Hughes and what Ian was saying about that. Emlyn Hughes was like Steven Gerrard.
Yeah,
and the two, and I remember about when Gerrard did his groin in 2009. He wanted to still do all the things that he should have done, and Rafa was trying to say you can't, and he'd still be hairing all around the pitch. He wanted to sit and to hold and play deeper. And the first person to realise that Gerrard is better employed further back was Brendan Rodgers. And had that move been made, I think 3-4 years earlier, I think he could still be playing for us now at centre half. He could head the ball, the game in front of him, he could pass, he could tackle. But Gerrard was having none of it. And this is why I always had this issue with him, because instead of listening to managers and listening to Rafa and say, just, you know, hold back, play deeper, you can still dominate a game, but you just don't have to be hairing it round. And Emlyn Hughes was one of Liverpool's greatest centre-halves. And there's an uncanny thing. If you get the chance to go on YouTube tonight, if you're not doing anything, watch Gerrard's first goal against Sheffield Wednesday in 99 or whatever it was, and then see if you can find a goal by Emlyn Hughes at the same end. I think it's against Stoke or Sheffield United, and it's exactly the same goal.
Is it? Yeah.
It's exactly the same goal. Couple of body swerves, past three defenders, outside on the right-hand side, and then a shot drilled low past the keeper into the Annie Road goal. It's exactly the same goal.
Emlyn was more than capable of picking it up really deep, running the length of the pitch, and then hitting it from 30 yards.
Oh, why? A bit like him. Stevie G.
A bit like Stevie G.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in his game, and it's forgotten about. He's another one of those it's forgotten about. It's like you forget the industry of Brian Hall. Mm. You forget how graceful, even though his name gets sung every week, you forget how graceful Steve Highway was.
Yeah.
Steve Highway was an absolutely magnificent footballer.
And Liverpool never really, I suppose traditionally, had two wingers, Peter Thompson in the 60s.
Yeah, and then Highway
and
immediately
then Highway
after.
In the 70s. And then after that, we never had another one for Barnes.
No.
But the three of them, Thompson...
Thompson Highway and Barnes.
You know, they'd probably go down. I mean, they'll probably never be mentioned as probably Liverpool's greatest player, but they've, in terms of wingers, three of the best players that probably ever played in the English league. And I dispute that with anyone. There's a few challenges going in, isn't there?
Yeah.
Challenges that you wouldn't get away with now.
No.
There'd be bookings all over the place. We haven't seen. Had cards been invented at this point?
I don't think they had.
I don't think they had. No. I think that feels like late 70s.
Just like you just have a like. It'd be like talking to some fella who needed to leave the pub at the end of the night. Just watching.
They would be then if you wanted someone off. There's event. Basically, just go up and say, "Listen, will you fuck off, lad?"
Yeah, and point to the tunnel.
Yeah, and if you booked somebody, you would literally pull a book out and write his name in your book.
Well, the ref, that's why it's a book. The ref here a couple of times. He's not booked anyone or sent anyone off because he hasn't put his ciggy out and he can't be asked.
Still got that glass of gin in his hand.
Yeah. Just finishing this, lad. Don't do that again. I'll have this. This will be out and I'll finish my gin and you'll be off. That was the type of conversations they had.
Yeah, this is one. I had an argument on Twitter with somebody the other week who said that...
No, not like you,
eh? I know.
Says Gareth Roberts.
Yeah. I was going to say, when Robbo's calling you a narc, you know you're in a bad place. Somebody was saying that footballs from the 80s wouldn't survive in the modern game because everything was slower. Footballs from the 70s wouldn't survive in the modern game because everything's slower and the technique's not as good. Look at this Liverpool side.
I was going to say, is there any noticeable like lack of pace in this game?
No, this is a fast game.
This is faster than a lot of games I've seen at this time. That's what I was saying before, and I cited the pitch for it.
Yeah. Look at that. There's distribution.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah,
never mind, good. Bloody.
Clemens should take the throw in.
It's just a throw-in from his own box.
We've spoke about it before when we've watched like games sort of like 80s and before when like some of us younger ones have watched it, and there's very little like midfield. Like I know there are lads playing there, but it just gets past it. The ball is either at one end or the other. There's not any of this like passing it sideways for a while, probing for a gap, any of that. It's very much get it towards their goal, lads.
Just killed a stone dead.
And passed it in one move.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But there is a lot for us. It's a lot of playing the channels, isn't it, at the moment? There's a lot of balls going down the right.
The interesting thing about this Liverpool team here in 1974 is that during this season, they got beat in the European Cup by Red Star Belgrade.
Right.
And they were outclassed. I think they lost both legs 2-1. And Shankly and Paisley said, right, if we're going to do anything in Europe, they'd won the UEFA Cup, but in terms of like winning the European Cup, we're going to have to change the way we play. And it was more about ball retention, playing through the phases of the pitch. So this is probably the first 6 months of that beginning to take place, which is why you're seeing a more sophisticated Liverpool
shape.
Yeah. And by 1977, once Paisley gets hold of the team and takes on, you know, Shankly was full of brio. In many ways, like Klopp, but maybe Paisley coming in just a bit more considered, not going off his head after a goal, not dancing round on the side, just like you've seen Shankly do there, just thinking and watching and taking it all in, and then very, very quietly, in a very, very sort of a very calm personality, communicating these things to players, and then Liverpool just made strides. So this is the start, really, of an era of dominance. They won the league 73, Cup 74. They don't win anything in Paisley's first season. And he said, his management there, first season, I was like an apprentice jockey going round wide at the bends on the Derby favourite. Next season, he wins the league and the UEFA Cup. Next season, he wins the league and the European Cup. And then the following season, he wins the European Cup again, becomes second in the league. And that's why Paisley really deserves to be ranked alongside Shankly. Shankly takes him to the second division, builds the dynasty. Paisley takes it on a stage further, and it's like, and you, this is why this match is so great, because it's probably the first time that you're seeing this transition that made us European champions four times in 7 years.
Yeah, well, what's quietly interesting to me looking at it is when you see the bench and you see Ronnie Moran there.
Yeah.
And you think of how many decades he span, and he just looks the same as when he did in the 90s when I was growing up. And
totally.
Such a mainstay figure, and just reinforcing those values all the time.
Also, I've always thought this about the older guys in football, is that he was playing for Liverpool in the 50s and he finished, he's manager in 1991.
Yeah.
And he's still at the club as assistant manager or coach in the mid-90s. So you go from the 50s to the 90s, and you're telling me that the game's changed that much. The game changes, but people change with it.
Mm, of course and you do, yeah.
That's why you can legitimately say any of these Liverpool players here in this team, they probably get in our team today. And look at this here.
That is gorgeous.
Lovely finish.
Great
finish. That's brilliant.
That's from a player you would think of as predominantly left-footed as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The run's brilliant from Keegan as well.
The run's take the man away.
The run takes the man away. Across the front post.
The trackies are fantastic, by the way.
They are, boss, aren't they? Yeah.
So, and again, you would have... What we're looking at now is players running back. You would have the goal being replayed four times in this time, because that's a fantastic goal. We haven't seen it back again yet. I don't know if we do see it back again. But
I'm all right
Keegan
with it.
Makes
it's quite nice seeing the fans and stuff.
Again.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I was just about to say the same point, but also they've got the camera on the goal scorer and showing the full gamut of emotions that he's going through. The initial euphoria, then the realisation, and then actually getting back to the halfway line and thinking that emotion has just made me knackered for 3 minutes there. That's really interesting. Never mind bloody replays. You know?
I know.
Unless you're not watching, you don't need to see a replay. Don't see one of the game, do you? Does me head in. The five replays you get of a goal these days before they cut back to...
Part of me wants to keep enjoying that goal for a few minutes.
Well, go home tonight and put it back on again.
There's the hands again from
There's
Shanks.
Hands. Nobody knows
loves
what
a
that
bit
means.
Of that. Everyone's like, what are you on about?
Just do that. Look at the crowd. I mean,
Liverpool hands absolutely bouncing.
Gorgeous, that.
No, I tell you what, you're never getting that back ever, because that's 40,000 people from one city. That
enforces how big the cup was, though. You know what I mean?
And again, because we'd only won it once in our history, and 65 took a long time to come. And the other thing we were saying a minute ago about
65 to 74, and then to 86. Yeah. Those three cups,
massive gaps. And the thing we were saying a few minutes ago about the length of service people gave. Ian Callaghan, it's 1974, so what are we in at the moment? His 13th year of his Liverpool career?
More, I think he's starting 59.
Did he start 59? Yeah. So he's into 15 years. He's going to play for us.
Another 3 years.
What's he play for?
77, 78. He
went to the 80s, didn't he?
No.
Didn't he go to 81?
Late 70s.
Was it late 70s?
Yeah, yeah. Now there's McDonald's. He's just missed an absolute sitter.
And that's his only touch. Buzzing
off him.
He skanked it. Listen, you hear the ironic cheers in the crowd there, because they've heard all this utter bravado from him all week. I mean, to be fair, his side, he's a good leg.
His side's great. But he was, you know, every time anyone gets really, heads fall off about Dane Lovren going, well, we can win the European Cup. He wasn't talking about, well, we can win the FA Cup. He was talking about, I'm going to rip Liverpool apart.
Yeah.
Liverpool have not seen me play yet. I'm going to destroy these single-handedly. And it wasn't the era when journalists were looking for headlines.
No, but they get, he just walked out and gave them. And the internet, one of the things that Paisley used to say about the psychology of management was that Liverpool players would do exactly the opposite in the week. And they say, oh, we really like so-and-so. These are a really good side. Absolutely right there, Dan. Kill them with kindness. And they call, Paisley's word for it was give them a bit of toffee. And they took on that. And it softened them up, demotivated. And like, this is why I get annoyed when people talk about Klopp as though he's the second coming. Because I don't see that psychology, and this is stuff that they learned. These fellas were in wars, for God's sake. They understood mentality.
The last time I went to Rome, I was on the back of a tank.
Yeah, and you know, Paisley wasn't known for his quips, but some of the things that he said were fucking hilarious. Like another one But one of my favourite Paisley stories was that in the year that his first season, Liverpool struggled at the start. It was normal. Shankly was still knocking around the training ground, and I think they won one, drew one, and lost two of the first games. Nothing tragic, but and Burnley were top of the league. They'd won the first three games, and then Liverpool played Burnley in the fifth game, and Burnley were saying in the press, you know, that we're going to do this, we're going to do that to them, and then. Paisley said they were talking. They were talking about us as though they were in a different league to us. At the end of the season, they were, because they got relegated.
Yeah. I mean, Paisley's. We've had difficult seasons before. We came second once was one of Paisley's. Wasn't
yeah.
Ooh. Oh, he was dry as a bone, wasn't he? Haven't you said? You know,
yeah. Just.
Do you know what? I was never a fan of Toshak.
Players hated him. You know, they absolutely hated Paisley. Couldn't stand him.
Keegan's absolutely tireless, isn't he?
He's known as the Rat.
Was he? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Read the Quiet Genius book and work out the different styles of management and how they worked. He couldn't stand them. He didn't give a shit about team spirit. He didn't give a shit about whether... Tommy Smith and Emlyn Hughes absolutely hated each other.
Yeah.
And do you know what he used to do? He fostered that. He wanted them falling out. He wanted three camps in the dressing room, because when they went out to play, he wanted them all thinking... Our gang will be better than your gang. Your gang will be better than our gang. And that was why you got this incredible team spirit. The team spirit came from winning matches.
Mm.
There's Jimmy Hill there. Is that Alan Gowling, I think?
Hello.
It's weird to hear Jimmy Hill's a co-commentator.
Yeah. He was good though, you know.
He was. It's one of those, you know, at the time it was just Jimmy Hill on the telly. He's always on the telly, but, you know, as you grow older yourself, you appreciate what he did for professional football and his own career on every level.
And God's loads of levels, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, he was very much behind eradicating the maximum wage, which, you know, some may now argue was a bad thing.
He was a footballer's footballer, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He lined again, didn't he? Came out the crowd.
Didn't he? Because the Lions got an injury and he came out of the crowd
and did it.
Yeah.
Isn't this the game where after the final whistle, Phil Thompson swaps shirts with one of the Newcastle players, and then he can't get up the steps.
They're both from Kirby, aren't they?
But he can't get up the steps because Busy thinks he's a Newcastle player, and it's like, no, Liverpool are going up, and he's like, I play for Liverpool, lad.
And all the pitches, the cup-winning pitches, have got Thompson wearing the Newcastle shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
At the time, you might have been a bit annoyed about that, but you look at it now, and it's a story in itself, because... Two lads from Kirby have swapped shirts. Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear that in the background.
It's unbelievable.
Getting the Shankly show.
That's
going.
How you serenade a manager at the time. So now it's that's an historic chant. Now that's something that's wheeled out on very, very special occasions. But that was what it was. And to hear that like that.
Yeah. And incidentally, Amazing Grace, which is the shoe.
Yes, which is his favourite song.
That was his favourite song.
Which we didn't know.
No.
At the time.
It was incidental, wasn't it? I think that coincidence. He also liked Pat Boone.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think he fancied it, to be honest.
There's only me.
Nobody
else got
these lads are just look tired. Look at the age of them. They're all falling asleep.
Being in here for 3 hours, Mike, you know what I mean?
I've been on the Calcutta train.
Is there an advert there for Chessington Zoo, Dan?
Good zoo.
Any Chessington Zoo thoughts?
I don't reckon they had a good quality of animal there, you know. I reckon they had like fucking dogs that did stuff too, so they look like lions.
That was self-taught.
Have you ever heard the story that was on Talksport about a fella who rang in to say that he'd been like he'd had an incident in a zoo where a ring-tailed lemur had like
a ring-tailed
lemur.
Yeah.
And he sort of poked his head slightly over the fence, and this lemur picked him up and flung him into a moat. And he said, to be quite honest, I was surprised by its strength.
There you go. Left back winning the ball on the edge of the section.
That was an Andy Robertson cross that no one gets on the end of.
High pressing. All through this game, Newcastle haven't figured out our ball down the right hand channel at any point. They just can't deal with us.
Newcastle can't get out, can they?
Can't get out. Keegan's destroying them because he's everywhere. But we've got the flexibility as well because the midfield's moving round.
Oh, they're out now. There you go. See you later.
There you go.
Every second ball's Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Terry Mack's gone to bits there, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Terry Mack just passed it to a red shirt 2 years too early.
Yeah. First touch, yeah. Constant first touch.
Showed them the way to go on.
One no, touch, I was just trying to hear if they said for a wank.
No, we were classier in the 70s.
Well, was it 40 winks then?
No, I don't think there was no addendum to it at all. The funny thing there, but a couple of minutes ago, was that, you know, we were talking about the Super Mac story and McDonald's. The Liverpool fans were singing Super Reds, just as a direct thing to counter that. That's like one of those sort of instinctive things that you'd get more of in those days, without a doubt. Not sounding like an old fella, I was 6. I haven't always been 50.
When you put the word shit on the end of United, every time they sing United.
Yeah. United, shit.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Let's have it back. That's what football's lost. Is
spontaneity.
Spontaneity. The recognition of home advantage. You look at the recent games against City and Spurs to a lesser degree. Nastiness in the crowd. That's what home advantage is about.
Definitely.
Look at home records over the years. Always better than away records. Why? It's not because they like the pitch.
Yeah. It's about harnessing it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the right way.
In the right way, yeah.
Which we haven't done particularly well.
No, I agree.
That's something we haven't used for a long time. EIADO.
We won the cup.
It's about time we had an EIADO going again.
Have to win a fucking cup first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sort of like.
Let's do it in the Ukraine.
That'll do me. I've just booked a hotel for Ukraine.
Have you?
Yeah, 6 of us, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'm looking at going. There's no way on God's earth I can afford this.
These digs are like
I might have to start travelling 3 weeks early.
They're like £20 a night or something, and they're alright. 6 of a share, and me, Chris Maguire, Johnny Milburn.
McDonald's just missed another one here, hasn't he? Getting buzzed off again.
One over the bar, yeah. And just tell me my last funny story about this game. When I was 6, I didn't bevy.
But I'll let,
you wait till you're 8 in Sefton.
Oh yeah, we've got a free care. There's a fella. The fella's actually trying to rob the linesman's flag because it's red.
Look bizarre, like David Moores.
Might well have been. Look at him. He hasn't had a pint, has he?
No police, no stewards. He's just legging it back down the line on his own.
I'm going to tell you a story about another fella who'd had a pint at this game. The fella behind me, absolutely bladdered. And even at 6, you could just tell that there was something wrong with this fella. He literally had 25 pints on a Saturday night and 10 for Sunday dinner, as the song goes. And he missed all 3 goals because he kept on missing a goal, coming back. Oh, I had to finish halfway through. Still not empty, am I? Missed all 3 goals. Oh. The only goal he saw was Lindsay's one that got it slouched. And you know what? He didn't give a shit. Didn't give a shit. Liverpool had won the cup.
Yeah.
See, we are literally. It's done now. We're just managing the game out now.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do you know what I'd be fascinated to know whether Jurgen Klopp has ever watched this game, because there's so much to be learned from it.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, that triggered me thought there about how to see a game out, how to remain dominant.
Which we've started doing.
Mentality. You know, talking about mentality of players, mentality of a team, the ability to not be conceding 2-3. When you're winning 4-1 against Manchester City, not to concede 2 in the last 10.
And I think it was Lovren who was talking about that this week, who was saying, you know, one of the things that they've been concentrating on the last few games is the mentality and seeing out the game and managing the game.
And
I think that's a big learning at the moment. They're getting
better at it, without a doubt. But, I mean, for me, the first thing they should do on the international weekend is go and watch this game. Because the quality, some of the quality of the control, the aggression, as you were saying before, that it mirrors that sort of the high press.
And that's a lovely touch by Callan there. Yeah. Yo, if Firmino did that now, you'd be delighted with it.
Same instruction. What's Bruce Forsyth at the start?
Yeah.
Forget the first half because it's boring, and then what's the second half? Andrew Robertson could watch Alec Lindsay all day.
And replicate.
Exactly. Look at this. See that little shimmy over the ball by Keegan? What about that for a pass?
And that.
Look, take all
the pace out there and knock it off.
Tell you what, this is technique. Look at this. One, two.
And there you go.
Do you know what? The only chance that should have been heard after this goal here is, fuck off, we're Liverpool.
Is this the one where he says it?
He just said it.
Did he just say it then?
Absolutely stripped naked.
No, the other one. I know, yeah. Keegan 2, Highway 1, Liverpool 3, Newcastle none.
The strip naked is a great line, no?
Yeah. Didn't it, wasn't it like, and they were absolutely undressed or something like that?
There you go. Keegan 2, Highway 1, Liverpool 3.
You can't prepare that.
No, of course you can't.
It's impossible to prepare that.
Coleman was a genius.
Yeah, he was brilliant, sorry.
And occasionally he would, his genius would overtaken, and he'd say things that, he had his own like book called Coleman Balls. Which had a load of...
It ran in private eye for a long time,
yeah,
didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it had a load of, like, unintentional profanities. It was better than Viz. I'm not going to close any of them.
But again, that's another one. So it's that managing the game out, but then that late break, which, again, was breaking up the play in midfield, a little flick around the corner, and suddenly you're all bombing down.
Yeah.
And the cross Tommy Smith?
Yeah,
thought it was. It's right back. So you're right back crossing the ball. It's, you know,
yeah.
Football basically doesn't change, does it?
No. Same game.
Shankly's last game as well.
Shankly's last game.
Yeah, he resigns after this because he's shit. And he has no rapport with the crowd. And then tragically,
this is where he gets the scarves, isn't it?
Lovely pink shirt.
Yeah,
I know.
Was that Paisley having a ciggy then?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, there was definitely a cloud of smoke.
You sure it wasn't Joe Faye?
It could have been Joe.
Smoking Joe.
You always need a smoker in the team as well. I mean, even in 2005.
Fucking hell.
No, 2005.
Deep Mar had to go and get a ciggy off David Moores in the showers.
Yeah, in the showers. And Rafa was like, for fuck's sake, who's smoking in here? This is at half time. The chairman and the fella who's about to come on a sub having a bifter in the showers.
I don't reckon it influenced the match, though. So. Do you know what I mean?
If we're being honest, I reckon if you're going to be on the biffs,
yeah,
we win the league.
Don't give Robertson 20 Bensons and go, yeah, lads.
All I'm saying,
win us a fucking trophy there.
All I'm saying is that since we've had no players who smoke, we haven't won anything.
And David James smoked and he was shite. David James.
Rooney smokes.
Rooney, constantly on the bifters.
Yeah, Klopp smokes.
These lads here
doesn't count. Here,
prime athletes. These were on senior service.
Were?
These were on proper ciggies. Not the cheap shit that you get nowadays.
In my day, this.
Look at Johan Cruyff. God rest his soul.
Oh God,
40
yeah.
a day.
He used to wipe his ass with tracing paper, and if he did that today, we'd win the European Cup.
You'd not have to put up with eyes. I'll have you. Not sure who was offside there. Again, no replays show you who was offside.
Shankly's, he's still fuming
Shankly's
about an offside.
Shankly's kicking off about offside, yeah. Boss.
He's saying to the ref, it's finished now.
Hey, Shankly get bollocked for that in the
game
modern
over.
Age. Doing the game over
there
signal.
You go.
Allardyce would be fuming.
Yeah.
There we go, Liverpool have won the cup. Fuck off, Malcolm McDonald. So there you go. That has been the 1974 FA Cup final. Hopefully you enjoyed watching it.
You know what? That was an absolute fucking joy to watch.
Enjoy that.
I've not watched the whole thing.
I've not seen it for a while.
You used to enjoy it, didn't you?
Oh,
Dan Austin fell asleep.
That's what's wrong.
Dan,
don't worry about it. I'll tell you the full Ringtail Lima story in a minute. It's an absolute.
You peaked early with your seeing if the referee was alive, and then after that, it was just like, all right, lads. You know, we haven't got a smoker in the team. What's he on about there?
The presenter. The presenter.
A manager's so hard he can get away with a pink shirt like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, exactly.
With those collars.
Just back on the Ringtail Lima. Right. The presenter said, threw you over into a moat, over a fence. He said, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you.
What's happening here? That has been the big match.
This is what we do this show for.
Thank you. We'll be back soon with one, and Neil can present it, eh?